used to run away and go down to the old slavery houses. Now, they were back in them days. They were set free, but we still call them slaveries and all. And she lived and went on by my uncle's house and went right down the lane by the pasture fence. And she lived, her head as white as cotton. She lived all alone. And I was crazy about her biscuits. And I'd go down there and we wore these little old bitty apron-like dresses. Maybe your children have worn them. Had pockets on each side of them. All right, she'd put me a biscuit, and sometimes she didn't have one. She'd break it half in two and put a piece in each pocket, and I could take both little hands and run them down the pocket, and oh, I thought I had something. And I would sit on the doorstep and start nibbling on the biscuits. And by and by, I wouldn't say anything to her, just nibble on the biscuit. And breakfast, she'd say, "Well, now, honey child, your mother be looking for you. You better take your biscuits now and go on back up by the fence and go back to your mama. And then you come back to see me tomorrow." Well, I'd say, "All right." And I'd tumble off them door steps, go right on back home. Get home, mama said, "Where in the world have you been, Daisy?" I said, "I went down to Aunt Mariah's house." And I said, "Well, I just loved Aunt Mariah, and there was no place for me to go but to Aunt Mariah." And finally, poor old soul, there was a foot log. She lived almost on the bank of the creek. And she, when the river rise, you know, she had to walk the foot log. And so this particular day, old Aunt Mariah slipped off the foot log and drowned. And they threw a bottle of fodder. I know you've heard people talking about how they won't find a body in a stream of water. They'd go to the barns and get a bundle of fodder and throw in there. And the electricity of something, the vibration of that body and all would bring that fodder, and it would swirl over where that body was. Now, that's true.
I didn't know that.
Yes, that's true. And so that's the way they located Aunt Mariah's body and got it out. And that was the last point Aunt Mariah for me. And I reckon I cried a year after missing old Aunt Mariah.
Uh-huh. Well, that's really interesting.
Well.
Tell me about the house you lived in when you were...
Well, it was a nice-sized house, and it sat back just a little ways off the main highway, but the road for it. In fact, it was three. It was kind of prong. It went three directions. Almost directly in front of the house. And so the mailman that came in one route and turned and went another, and then the main highway came straight on across in front of our house by grandmother's and him and went on through to Zeppelin. And so we had a nice house, and Daddy, the family grew, and the children got large and all, so we had to have more room. And so he built on two more nice rooms for sister and them to have what they call a parlor room and a bedroom for the older girls. And then finally I added on a back room, just kind of a shed room, for the younger children to occupy. And so we just had a glorious time. Then we all filled it up, 11 children.
Uh-huh.
Mother and Dad. We had a happy home. Because we just all grouped, as I said, all the kin folks, and everybody loved one another, and we just had a glorious time. The family, until we moved to the present side here in 1911. And it's been home to one and all since.
Families don't live that close anymore.
No, they don't, but I want you to know we were a close woven family. Up there during those days.
Uh-huh.
Sure was, of course. My aunts and my great uncles and all just all around the doorstep. Sunday morning came, they cleaned up from the tarlings in the field, gathered up their Bible, folded their hands behind them, and walked to New Hope Church, which was just a half a mile above us, coming on the Ward Zeppelin. And that's where they